I love to, for you to hear what our folks are doing as we go around the world. We want to be a sending church, and God may call you out to go serve. You may take a week's vacation and just go somewhere and tell people about Jesus. What a great opportunity it is. You may go, like my mom used to go, wherever her goal was to go to every continent and share the gospel, and she wanted to prayer walk every capital city of the United States, and she wanted to prayer walk in every country that she could go. So sometimes she would go to other countries, and her mission was just to go to the capital regions of that country and just walk and pray, and just pray that the gospel would permeate the place. Pray for the Christians in that region. And so maybe you're going on vacation somewhere. Why not just take a little time and just go prayer walk? Walk around and pray for the gospel to bear fruit and for lives to be changed. You may go to another country. Pray that the gospel would go and that people be open to what God is doing. I encourage you to do that. All right, I invite you to find your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 4 as we look together today at a message that is somewhat connected, related to Memorial Day. Memorial Day for us is a sort of a patriotic holiday. Not sort of, it is. It's a patriotic holiday, and you may have your flag flying, or you may be going to a parade tomorrow. I drove into the parking lot this morning. Somebody's got a flag on the back of their vehicle. It's a day where we are reminded of our great country, and I'm so grateful to be a part of the United States of America. As challenging as it is sometimes, as frustrating as some of the stuff is, the political stuff back and forth sometimes drives us crazy, but there's not a greater nation on the planet, and I'm so grateful to be an American. I'm grateful to live here in this country. So this holiday, Memorial Day weekend, reminds us of that. Patriotism, I think, is running strong this weekend. It is a time for us to remember our military personnel. If you are a veteran, we're so grateful for you. We have the freedoms that we enjoy now because of the sacrifices that you've made along the way. I spent some time this weekend with some friends of ours. Their son is in the military. He's practically grew up in our home, and he just got his orders. He's being shipped out to Syria. And so you realize, you know, there's people making huge sacrifices on our behalf so that we can enjoy freedoms and impacting our world. While it seems forever away, the things that's going on in our world impacts our life as well. So we're very, very grateful for that. This Memorial Day may be a time where some family members are reflecting upon loved ones who died serving our nation. And we're so grateful for people who are willing to give those kinds of sacrifices. As we think about Memorial Day, we can't help but think of all the memorials and all that they stand for. I remember my trip to Washington, D.C. for the first time to see the Vietnam Memorial Wall. Have you been there? Have you seen that? It was a very moving experience for me. There's a lot about Vietnam that, you know, I was just a little kid when all that was going on, and I was so out of touch. I didn't watch news. That was the last thing on my mind. But looking back at it now, there's some sad things about that whole era that we went through as a nation. There's some things that bother me. There's some things, you know, if you served in Vietnam, I don't know that we've adequately said thank you for what you've done or what you did for us back then. That was a very important time in our nation's history, and I'm not sure that we embraced it well. It was a crazy week for me when I went to the Memorial Wall for the first time years ago. I think it was 1998, if I remember right. My brother and I were doing a revival meeting in Florida all week, and it ended on Thursday night because we were singing and other things too. We had sound equipment, had all kind of stuff, so we drove instead of flew. So we drove home all night. And we drove straight to the airport, and I got out of the van and walked into the airport and got on a plane and flew to Washington, D.C., because that was the weekend of the Promise Keepers rally, where over a million men gathered on the lawn in Washington, D.C., and had an unbelievable worship experience and prayer time for our nation. Well, that was my first experience to see the Vietnam Wall. I walked up to the wall that morning, and I was in a little bit of a fog because I was so tired. I'd had so little sleep. And I wanted to see this wall, and I was very moved as people stood in front of this wall weeping. Some of them had paper and they were scribbling over the names of a loved one. I saw some men doing the same thing, weeping, and I realized that these are Vietnam vets, and these are probably their friends, men they fought beside, men who died. So these men scribbling the names of their friends on this piece of paper so they could take it home as a memento, they are thinking of their friend who gave their life and how their friend died, but they're alive, you know, and it was just a very moving thing as you think about what that wall represents. It represents different things to different people. If you fought in Vietnam, it represents one thing. If you're like me, I stood there and I was kind of an observer watching all these people experiencing this wall, putting flowers in front of the names of their loved one and all that. It moved me as I thought about the incredible sacrifice that people are making for me, on my behalf, for our nation, so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. It was a very powerful thing for me. That wall now symbolizes something far more because I stood there and I watched that, and it made me think about the significance of that. What do you think about when you see, like the Vietnam Wall, what goes through your mind? Whenever you go to some of the other memorials in Washington, D.C., you know, what do you think about when you see the Washington Monument? It's just this big, tall thing. But, you know, it reminds us of something very significant, very important. It reminds us of a person. It reminds us of an era. It points back to some events in the history of our nation that shaped us, that has made us who we are. When you go to the Lincoln Memorial, what do you think of as you see that huge thing of Abraham Lincoln sitting there, and you think about the season, the era, the time in which Lincoln served our nation? You think about the turmoil and what all that represents and the unity that came about during that time of great division. What goes on your mind when you see these memorials? Hopefully, we think not just of people, though we certainly think of people, but we think of principle, we think of events. I would hope that we would allow our minds to even go beyond that and to think about how God has his hand upon nations, how God is moving and working in the lives of people, especially for us, the United States of America, that we would think about the fact that God has moved through our nation to make his gospel known. That these events, these things are not just random acts, but these are times in which God is working, in which God is accomplishing his purpose somehow through his people. That these memorials might move us to a spiritual experience as we would connect the dots and see that God is working in our lives. And God wants to use us as a people, that we would be, like President Reagan one time said, that city that is set upon a hill. That as a nation, we would represent Christ to the nations. God's called us to do that, and we certainly should. I want to talk about memorials this morning. The Bible has some things to say about memorials. In fact, we're going to look at one in Joshua chapter 4. This memorial is not like a big Washington Monument or a Lincoln Memorial, nothing like that. It was a pile of stones. You may be familiar with this story. I love this story. I love this story in part because it's a story of a great victory, and it's a story about how God worked through his people to accomplish his purpose. It's a story about how God used a man, connected a man, Joshua, to his purpose to lead. And it just reminds me of how God has a purpose for all of us, and he wants to connect us to his greater design. And as we look at this story today, we're going to think about this memorial that was erected. And I'm hoping that as we see this story, we'll think of it from two perspectives. One is to ask ourselves, what kind of memorials are we erecting? I mean, do you do certain things? Is there something in your home that reminds you of times past? Do you have any memorials like when you look at it, it reminds you of how God has worked in your life in the past? If not, maybe in response to this message today, you might want to go home and talk with your family. What can we do in our home where there's something in our home? It might be a picture. It could be something that when we look at it, we are reminded of how God has worked in our family. we really ought to think about that. There could be some really, really neat opportunities to do something to remind us that God is at work in our lives. He's worked in the past. He's going to work in the future. He has called us to shine our light to the world. Is there something in your home that reminds you of that? But what I really hope will happen today is that we will see the opportunity that God has given us to be a memorial ourselves, that our lives represent Him to the world, that people should look at us and be reminded of these truths that we're going to talk about today that this memorial represents in Joshua chapter 4. Now, if you're familiar with this story, you know that the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt. They were in captivity. And how God raised Moses up. You remember the story. Moses went before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh finally let them go. And you remember the whole story about how they went across the Red Sea on dry ground as the sea parted. Do you believe that really happened? You better believe I believe it, because it's in the Word of God, and God's not going to lead us astray. I'm confident that that happened. They went across on dry ground. And we know that they went through a period of wandering around. It took them 40 years to get to the Promised Land. You know, they could have done it in about 3 weeks. But because of their sin, because of their waywardness, they weren't ready to move into the Promised Land. And God actually brought judgment on the nation of Israel. And they wandered around for 40 years. And actually, Moses didn't even get to lead them into the Promised Land, because he also had sinned. And there's some things that he had done. And God says, "You know what, Moses, I'm not going to let you lead them in. We're going to let Joshua do that." And so Joshua was the one that was just under Moses as far as leadership goes. And so Joshua was the one that had that responsibility to take over this leadership role. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being Joshua and taking over after Moses died? Wow, you're talking about some big sandals to fill. You know, those are some big ones. And he had to step in and lead the people of Israel as Moses had done. I'm sure he was scared to death. I think he was, because the scripture says over and over and over, God said to Joshua, "You know, don't be afraid, Joshua. Don't be dismayed, Joshua. Don't be afraid, Joshua. I've got this." Over and over we see that, where God told Joshua that. Well, Joshua brought the children of Israel finally to the Jordan River. And they had to cross the Jordan River to get over into the Promised Land. How do you do that with millions of people? How do you get all these people across the Jordan River? God had a plan that day that would accomplish several things. It was a plan that would not only get them into the Promised Land, get them into Canaan, where they could go and take this land that God was giving them, but it was also a plan to establish Joshua as the leader of Israel. You see, all these people now who were alive were not alive when they crossed the Red Sea. Many of them were not. If they were, they were just tiny babies. But most of them were not. Most of them, they were born in that wilderness wandering period. They were born in the desert, wandering around. They didn't have a memory of the Red Sea. They didn't remember standing there with the Egyptian army coming behind them and Moses raising the rod of God and the Red Sea parting and the children of Israel going across on dry ground. They didn't have that memory. They'd heard the stories, but they had no memory of that experience. So here they are now on the edge of the Jordan River. The Bible tells us that it was like a flood season. The water was spilling over the sides of the river, a lot of water. And God had a plan to get the children of Israel across. In Joshua chapter 4, we see some of what happened that day. God parted the Jordan River, just like He did for the Red Sea. He's going to do it for the Jordan River. Just like He did for Moses, He's going to do it for Joshua. And the Bible says they went across on dry ground to the other side. You see, things that we see as barriers, they're not barriers to God. God doesn't have a problem with parting a river. That's not a big deal to God. That's a huge deal to us. It cracks me up to hear people sitting around trying to figure out, could that have really happened? You know, could God have really done that? It must not be a true story, because that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. Stopping a river is not a big deal to God. Overcoming an obstacle in your life is not a big deal for God. He can handle it. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever the challenge is that's keeping you from the Promised Land that God's called you to inhabit, the life that He's called you to live, whatever the difficulty is, it's not a problem for God. And we need to quit telling God that this is an insurmountable issue, because it's not. God can handle it. If He can part a river, He can deal with your issue and my issue, whatever it is. Well, in Joshua chapter 4, we see an interesting thing happen. The story is not about today, the part we're going to focus on, is not about the river parting so they could walk across on dry ground, but it's about what happened during that experience. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 4, the scripture says, "So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan.'" Okay, you got this in mind. We got the Ark of the Covenant. We've got these men carrying this big golden box. And they're standing in the middle of the river, which is no longer a river because the water has piled up and there's a dry path for the children of Israel to go across. What's more amazing, that the water piled up and waited, you know, and created a path for them, or that the ground was dry? It was not this muddy thing that all the wagons and everything would be stuck in the mud. Well, they walked across some dry ground. Well, we have these men holding this Ark of the Covenant. They're standing in the middle of the Jordan while all the children of Israel go across. That's significant because, see, that Ark of the Covenant was a very important piece of furniture for the people of Israel. Inside that Ark of the Covenant, they had the Ten Commandments, a copy of that, where God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone. It was inside that. There was also a bowl of manna that represented the provision of God. So we had the Ten Commandments that represented the law of God. We had the bowl that represented the provision of God and that God is watching over them. And then you also have the rod of Aaron that budded. It was another story, another event, and it represented the presence of God. So this Ark of the Covenant was a huge symbol that told all the people of Israel, God is with us. God is with us. He's walking with us. He's helping us. He's making the way for us. And so this Ark of the Covenant, these men, they're standing in the middle of the Jordan River. The water's piled up. They're standing up on this dry ground, and the people of Israel are going across. And Joshua says to these 12 guys, he says, "I want you to go back down into the middle of the Jordan River, where the Ark of the Covenant is. And he says, cross again to the Ark of the Lord, your God, in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, which is 12. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" So what is he saying? He said, "I want you to go down the river. I want you to each get a big boulder, big rock out, and bring it out. Take it from the middle of the Jordan. Bring it out here, and we're going to put a stack of rocks right over here on the side of the river. And the reason we're doing this is because in the future, you're going to have children who weren't here. And you're going to come walking along this river one of these days, and they're going to see these pile of stones. And your kids are going to say, 'What's this for?' And I want you to tell them the story about how God worked in our life." That's really the purpose of a memorial, in my opinion, for us as Christians. Here's how God has worked in our life. Here's what God has done to bring himself glory, to provide for our needs, to take care of us. I want us to think for just a moment about this memorial. See, memorials point others to God's power. It reminds us that God is sufficient. God is strong. Before they actually crossed the river that day, Joshua 3:5 tells us that Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Wonders. God's about to do something in your life, and it's going to be amazing. Tomorrow is amazing, so get ready, is what he's saying. Boy, shouldn't we be doing that every day? Shouldn't we be saying to ourselves, to our families, "Hey, let's get ready because God's going to do something amazing today. God is about to cut loose in your life. So just get ready. Consecrate yourself. Yield yourself to God and his purpose. Surrender yourself to what God wants to do because he is about to do something amazing in your life." Every day really should be that way. Every day should be a wonder, shouldn't it? As people look at our lives, they ought to be able to see God at work. God putting the pieces together, God doing things that could only be explained by God. You see, life is not just about us figuring it out. Life is not just about us doing our best. Matter of fact, if we're only doing our best, that's not enough. What we've got to do is surrender to God so God can work. You see, it's what God does after our best that's amazing. When people look at our lives and say, well, I know Tim, he didn't do that. That must be God. God's about to do something amazing. Consecrate yourself. Get ready because the power of God is about to be unleashed in your life. You see, God's power ensures our deliverance. No matter it is what we're facing, when we've got God's power working in our life, there's great deliverance to be experienced. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Jebusite, the Muscatites, all those. He says, God's about to deliver you from all these guys. You know, he's about to rescue you. He is about to put you into the promised land. He's about to fulfill his promise in your life. He says, so we're going to know that. We're going to walk across on dry ground. We're going to pile these stones up here. We're going to be reminded that God's power has worked in our life. It ensures our deliverance. You see, Scripture is clear that we are in a spiritual conflict every day of our lives. Not just what was going on in Joshua chapter 4, but every day that we live. Matter of fact, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. This is a spiritual battle that we're in as we live for Jesus, as we choose to do the right thing, as we choose to honor him with our decisions. Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Every day, we're in a spiritual conflict, and we need to understand that and get this. You see, this idea about God's power ensuring our deliverance reminds us, focuses us on the fact that God calls us to defend ourselves in this spiritual battle through his power as we rely upon him. So this memorial is going to point to that. You see, we get bound up in stuff that trips us up. Sin, struggles, habits, attitudes, oppression, difficulty. As we say in Celebrate Recovery, hurts, habits, and hang-ups, stuff that just trips us up. We get so bound up in all of that. God says, my power is available for you. I'm going to meet you where you are, and I'm going to do something amazing in your life. I'm going to deliver you from these things that are tripping you up. You know, no matter what it is in your life that's tripping you up, God's saying, look, I want to meet you where you are, and I want to bring deliverance to your life. So our life really can be a memorial of his power. Because, see, God's power ensures our victory. When we've got God's power in our life, there's nothing too difficult for him to do. Nothing. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Some weeks ago, I took one of my daughters on a date. My whole family had gone to see the movie Greatest Showman. Have you seen that movie, Greatest Showman? I had not seen it, and my daughter had not seen it. And so we decided one night to go very late. This is after Sandra had her surgery, and we made sure she was good. And so we left her home with one of her other kids, and we went off to the movie, me and Anna. It was great. But we had to go to the late show. I think they left it on just for us. I mean, it was so late. And it was the night a huge storm came through. Matter of fact, a tornado touched down that night, just a little north of here. And we just happened to come along right after that tornado hit, and there was a power line down across the road, and there were emergency personnel, and we were not able to go that way. We had to turn around because it was dangerous. It just made me think about the power that goes through those wires. It's phenomenal and deadly, and it could kill you. But you know what's amazing to me? When I think about those power lines, I see birds perched upon those power lines all the time. Matter of fact, did you know that you could hang on to a power line? As long as your feet didn't touch the ground, you'd be good. But when your feet touch the ground, you're in trouble. Because you get grounded and the power then goes through your body and it kills you. So those birds can sit on that power line and it's no big deal. Little squirrels run along, as long as they don't accidentally touch two wires at the same time. If they do that, they're toast. But if they don't, they're good. And here's a thought that went through my mind. When your feet are touching the ground, you're grounded. electricity will kill you. But when you are fully resting on the power alone, there's no danger. I was thinking about that in relationship to this, to my life being a memorial. When I am resting on the power of Almighty God alone, when I know that my victory is in Christ and Christ alone, it's not in me orchestrating things, it's not in me controlling things, it's not in me making something happen, it is in my full trust in Almighty God. That's when His power runs through my life. That's when I have security. That's when I'm safe. So God's power ensures our victory. So memorials are going to point others to God's power in our life, but it's also going to point others to God's presence. That when God sees our life, they see our family, it is a reminder that there is a God, that He is here. In Joshua 3:7, back before they crossed, the scripture says, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you.'" What a great promise that was to Joshua. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. You see, for this memorial for Joshua, when he looked back at those rocks piled, it was going to be a reminder that God is with me. That God is walking with me. That God never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He walks with me through the Jordan. And whatever I've got to tackle on the other side of the Jordan, He's going to be with me then too. It is a promise of His presence. It is a reminder that God never leaves us. Down in verse 13, the scripture says, "It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap." He says, look, here's a little reminder. When you go through the river, as soon as your feet touch that, I'm with you. I got this. It's just a reminder of God's presence. And I think that if our lives are going to be a memorial to God, we are being reminded that God is with us, that God is walking with us through these storms. See, God's presence brings comfort to us. It reminds us that He is with us. He is helping us through these times. It's like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in those green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside these quiet waters." It's great comfort to us. The Bible is real clear. When you give your life to Jesus, when you turn from your sin and yourself and you surrender your life to Jesus to be your Lord and to be your Savior, the Bible says that He comes to live within our hearts. It's a promise of His presence. But God's presence also brings great confidence. When our confidence is in God, we can be sure that whatever it is that we're facing, we'll have victory. So when the people set out, Joshua 3:14 says, "When the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho." See, the priest stood with the ark in the midst of the river. The people walked across. It is a reminder. It brings us great confidence. Our confidence is in God. It's not in us. We're going to face struggles. Or we're going to face problems. We're going to have challenges in our life. So where's our confidence? If your confidence is in yourself, you're in trouble. Because I promise you, you're going to face some things you cannot overcome by yourself. But when your confidence is in God, everything's possible. I'll tell you a fast story. My family and I, years ago when I was a boy, we were hiking down through Linville Gorge, which is up in North Carolina. And we decided to take this shortcut. Watch out for shortcuts. We decided to take this shortcut back up to the road that runs along where this trail was, because we had to get back to our car. It was starting to get late, and the shortcut was the best way to go. So we started up this trail, but the problem is that the trail began to disappear. And my dad said, "This is no problem. We know that there's a road that runs along the top of this ridge. We'll just hike through the woods, and we'll get up to the road, and we'll get back to the car." My grandmother was back at our other campsite, and she was going to be having a coronary, you know, if we didn't get back. And he says, no big deal, we'll just hike straight up. Well, the problem was, we didn't know it, between us and the road at the top was a cliff. And so we got to the bottom of that cliff, and we suddenly realized, we have a problem. We have this cliff, and it's getting dark. We don't have tents, we're going to have to go back down. We don't have anything to sleep in. There's bears, there's all kind of stuff out here. You know, our grandmother's back at the campground. We're in trouble. And so my dad says, here, just wait right here. I'm going to see if we can get up this cliff. And so he went around and looked around, and he found a place where the rocks kind of came together like this, and he said, we're going to climb this cliff. And so we did. We climbed that cliff. This is my dad and my mom, my brothers, my sister. And we climbed this cliff. Now, it wasn't like this, but it was rock, and so we had to climb it. And as we were climbing that cliff, my sister and I, my brother, we began to sing old Andre Crouch song, I've Got Confidence. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Every time I say the word confidence, I think about the story, and we began to sing that song. When trouble is in my way. Do you know that song? When trouble is in my way, can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side like a ship on a raging tide. I don't worry and I don't fret. God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind. I can't believe I can remember that. I've got confidence. God will never something, something. But it's a great song. I've got confidence. We have confidence because God doesn't abandon us. God, no matter what kind of cliff you're having, a scale, no matter what kind of problem you've got, God will see you through it. Memorials. Memorials also point others to God's promises. I got to move on. God's promises are rich. We need to know God's promises. We need to know them. What does God say he'll do in our life? We need to hold on to those things. Some great scripture. I love 1 Peter chapter 1. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. But then we need to act on his promises. You know, one thing I love about this story is the Jordan River did not part until the priest's feet touched the water. Isn't that something? He says, we're going to cross this. Okay, guys, pick up the Ark of the Covenant and go on across. And they're like, excuse me, but there's like some water there. And the thing is that water, I don't know how God pulled this off, and it doesn't really matter that he did it is what we know. When the priest stepped into the water, it started piling up. It didn't happen until the priest's feet got wet. I've oftentimes thought about this in my own life. What am I missing out on because I'm not willing to get my feet wet? What am I missing out on because I'm not willing to trust God and step into the water? If God says go, you just go. If God says do something, you just do it. You don't have to figure out how it's going to be done. Just be obedient. Our answer should be yes, I will do that. I'll step into the water. I'll move forward. Whatever it is that you want me to do, we got to act on the promises of God. And we do that, amazing things begin to happen. Notice the fourth thing, memorials point others to God's purposes. When they see our life, when we see that memorial that we've established, whatever it is in our life, in our family, it reminds us of the purpose of God. That's what Joshua said to the children of Israel when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done at the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Here's the purpose, he says, so that all the world will know that. God's called us to be personally involved. He wants to be personally involved in our life. He wants the whole world to look at our lives and to see the purpose of God through everything that we do. He wants the world to see God in us and his plan for their lives. But then also God's purpose should call us to participate in what he's doing. What he's doing in the world. He's not just out here working and we're observers. We're participants in that. Making the gospel known. Sharing the gospel around the world. Being involved in what he's doing in the lives of our neighbors and the lives of our children. We have that privilege to be connected to that. He's called us to to get involved. So memorials. We erect them all the time, whether we know it or not. We have little things in our home that remind us of certain things. But maybe we should have something in our home that when we see it, we are reminded of the plan of God, of the purpose of God, the presence of God, of the promises of God. We ought to be able to look at that. But more than that, I just challenge us. Let's let our life be that memorial. Everybody's not going to be coming into your home, but you know what? You're going to be going out in the world. And when people look at you, when they look at me, do they see the power of God? Are our lives a memorial that God is all-powerful and God is at work? Do our lives remind people that God is here, that God is present? Do they see God in your life and in my life? Do they see the promises of God being lived out and the purposes of God being fulfilled as they look at your life and mine? I want us to think on these things this Memorial Day weekend. We're going to think about, hopefully, patriotism. We're going to think about our soldiers. We're going to think about all that's happened. But let's take it to another level and think about the stones that Joshua piled up so that the children who would follow, they would be reminded of God's plan and their part in that plan. We must do the same thing.